people enjoy our ministry. As a matter of fact, they wrote the other day and was asking us to come into India. And the terms they used, they said, "Brother Pike, this is a special ministry." I said, "That's why we want it in India." But nevertheless, we know that God is special in everybody's life, no matter what comes. He's still special. Let's read just a little bit from the book of Jude. How many of you tonight have time to hear just a little bit of the gospel, do you? You know, I know that time gets by fast, and I understand that. But it's like I've said so many times, you take time for God, and God takes time for you. You draw near to God, God draws near to you. Whereas the Bible says that a man of the Old Testament there took a little time for God, and God added 15 years to his life. And I've said this a number of times, and I'm really persuaded in this, that the reason a lot of people aren't around today is because they didn't have time for God. They were very busy doing the things that they needed to do and following their thoughts and all the different things that come to their mind and their programs. And they have the wrong program in their mind. You know, it's like a computer. You put the wrong program in and you get the wrong results. But anyway, this man did the right thing. It pleased God. He added 15 years to his life. Some people, they don't have time for God. They're so busy doing the things that they want to do in life that they shorten their life. And others, they give their time to God and they stay around for many years. God protects them. He blesses them. They're valuable to him. And he makes a way for those people. So then to take a little bit of time for God is to maybe add a few years to our life. And like I say, if you do have to go, sometimes you have to go. Sometimes you can't stay long. People that come, sometimes they have things they have to do, and they're very busy, and they can't stay long. And if you have to slip out, that's okay. We thank the Lord for you. Appreciate you coming to be with us. And if you slip out, just be reverent. Ease out. Don't disturb the rest of them. And go do whatever you've got to do. And we'll be glad to see you. You'll come back again to be with us. All right, the general epistle of Jude. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Beginning at the first verse, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, unto them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, which contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beast. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. As I was reading from the first chapter, it was only one chapter in Jude, and reading that whole chapter, there's so many things in there that we could preach on tonight. First of all, I'd love for you to notice he uses the terms here, eternal fire. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I sometimes, in reading this text, I try to point this out to you because a lot of people know that hell is not eternal, and we preach that hell will deliver up its dead and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And the continuing of the suffering as to the burning indignation of God will be carried over from hell into the lake of fire. So then hell gives up its dead and they go into the lake of fire. But so far as the fire not being eternal, the Bible speaks of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. We see here that when he speaks of this eternal fire as to those that's going to suffer this as fornicators and these that go after strange flesh and other things, he also says that Michael the archangel had a dispute with the devil about the body of Moses. And this, of course, is something that we're always talking to you about, is about the dispute over the body of Moses. Because there's great significance as to the dispute over the body of Moses, because the body of Moses in representation had to do with the Jews. Moses being the head of the Jews as to a Messiah of that day, the head of the Jews are standing in Christ's stead in that the Lord wasn't there except in spirit, not being there in body, and that the body of the Lord had never been given at that time. That is made manifest. So then Moses here represented the head of the Jews. And the smiting of Moses by his own people brought death to the Jews. The same way as the smiting of Jesus by his people brought death to the people of that day. And Jesus being the true head of the Jews, truthfully, they went out into chaos. Moses, when they came against Moses and Moses was cut off, then they themselves were also cut off in that day and did not go into Canaan. And as it was in the days of Jesus, when Jesus was smitten, the Jews were cut off in that day and their houses were left desolate and they did not enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible speaks of this saying, and they shall come from the east and the west, and they shall sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom, and the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And sure enough, we've come from the east and west. We sing that song, they come from the east and the west. And when Calvary came and the kingdom of God came, whereas the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John, since that time the kingdom of God has been preached. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So then it is a true fact that the kingdom come, people came from all over the world and they've come from every part of every nation and they have pressed their way into the kingdom of God and they've been translated into the kingdom of God. But the Jews who were the children of the kingdom, even the kingdom of David, they have been turned into outer darkness, blinded in part and wandering around in the darkness as to an intellectual ignorance. has, as of this day, being turned out into the darkness, been at the wailing walls, and they've been through the Holocaust and all these things, and there's been weeping and wailing, and there's been gnashing of teeth. But people came from the east, and people came from the west. And as the children of the kingdom rejected Jesus and was put out, those that came from the east and west by faith in God was translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And so it will be in the end of the world that we'll see a repeat of this as to those being rejected in the end of the world. So we see a dispute over the body of Moses, which tells us that the Jews had to do with the body of Moses. Now we could take all night long talking about these things, but if you remember this morning we went back to faith and we was trying to explain to you the significance of faith and what it means and why that Moses did not go into Canaan land, or why there was a dispute over the body of Moses. We brought this out a number of times, what it has to do with as to the church, as pertaining to the church. And we spoke this morning concerning the impossibility of pleasing God without faith. You know, this is why I get excited when I talk about these things, is because I know that it's the challenge of my faith. The challenge of my faith, to the extent that I would like to do great and marvelous things for God. And I want to do more things for God. I want to reach out around the world and do more things for God. And I believe that I can do it. I'm going to try to do it. I believe God will help me to do it. But the thing is, that's a challenge to my faith, because I don't have the finance to do that with. I don't have anything to build buildings with, though we need more buildings right now for world evangelism. I don't have anything to pay for television programs, even though we have to have a lot of money every week for television programs. And I don't have the money to pay for radio programs. I don't have the money to do the things that we're doing every day of our life. I don't have the money to do that with. I don't have the means. I don't have the substance. But the thing is that it's an act of faith. That's what we're doing. It's by faith that we do these things. Noah did not have the means to build an ark, but God said, build an ark. Neither did Solomon have the means to build the great temple and all of these things that he overlaid with gold, but God said, build the temple. And so then the Bible says that Solomon gathered gold like dust, and God built the temple. And it says that Noah was given the material that he needed to build the ark with. And in the days of Nehemiah, when they had to build the walls back to the coming of the Messiah, he did not have those things that he needed. But one day, while fasting and praying, he went before King Artaxerxes. And the king said to Nehemiah, said, why art thou sad? Why is it your countenance are fallen? And he said, because the house of my father lays waste. The walls are all broken down. And all of a sudden, God, moving on King Artaxerxes, said, Nehemiah, go to the king's forest. Get whatever you need. Build back the walls. And so then, all of a sudden, God heard the prayers, the supplication of Nehemiah, and gave him what he needed to go build the walls. And folks, that's the way it is here at Bethlehem. That's the way it is with every man of God, every woman of God, everything that's ever been accomplished through life. There has been many, many men and women, great people of God, like Brother David Paul Singh. You've heard of little David in his sling. You've heard of Moses in the bulrush. You've heard of all these great, wonderful men, Abraham and Elijah and Paul and Peter and all the others. You've heard of them and the great, mighty things that they did. They did it by faith in God. And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's wanting you to move by faith. The Bible said the elders obtained a good report by faith. And if we're going to get a good report of God, we're going to have to utilize our faith in God. And the only way that you can do that is to escape this body of death. Like I say, the dispute over the body, you're going to have to escape this body of death, because this human body of death, this human body of doubt, this human body that's contrary to the spiritual being, is never going to allow you to do anything. This human body is selfish. It has an ego, a personal ego, to where it is like a
consumption. Everything that you could be, this old body, it devours it. Everything that you could ever offer to God, this body is waiting to devour it. Your face, your form, all that there is to this body, it's waiting to devour the inner man. And the Bible said there's a cross, a conflict, a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. And this body is always trying to overpower the spirit. The angelic man on the inside is imprisoned by bars of bones, as we would say. He is imprisoned to the extent he cannot do that he would do. Paul said, "In that I would do, as to the good I find that I do it not, and the evil that I would not do," he said, "this I find I'm in captivity to." That is, this thing always harasses me. This thing always condemns me, always accuses me, always puts me down. And yet the body itself, as to the infiltration of it, as to Lucifer, always is magnifying the body. If you want to be a ball player, if you want to be a celebrity, if you want to be a dignitary, if you want to be a millionaire, if you want to get a great diplomacy and be a great intellectual, or whatever it might be, an orator, whatever, why, the devil, he'll encourage you in that, and he'll never put you down. He'll do anything he can to make the way, and he'll work with you in everything, and the world will work with you, because the Bible said the world loveth its own. But when the spiritual man wants to do something, it was like David when he got his little sling and he went out to meet the giant. All of his brothers mocked him, but nevertheless, he trusted in God and he trusted in faith. And he trusted in the ability of that little sling that God had given him. And he wrought a great victory and became the champion of Israel by faith in God. And the Bible said concerning David, when David sinned against God, he said, "David, why did you do this? I took you from among the sheepcote, and I raised you up, and I gave you a name like unto the great men of the earth. And now why did you do this?" And David was so ashamed. You know, that's the way it ought to be with you and I. When we stumble, when we stagger, when we make a mistake, when we do something that's not like Christ, we ought to immediately go to God and ask God for forgiveness and be so sorry that we've hurt God or done anything wrong. Like the songwriter said, "I will forget my foolish pride and I'll confess that I've done wrong." It says, "Father, I've wronged thee, but oh, how I have paid. But I'll forget my foolish pride, and I'll come to thee and I'll make my confession that I have wronged thee, and then I'll correct that thing and then I'll go on with God." No one lives to themselves. There's not a human being that ever lived and didn't make a mistake. See, people that do things make mistakes. People that do things stumble and stagger. So then there's going to be mistakes, there's going to be stumblings, there's going to be staggering, there's going to be errors. But the thing is, in all of that, we can still live holy, we can still live godly, we can still be pure, we can still get up and go on with God and do those wonderful things that God has outlined that can be done by faith. I think about Peter, and I think Peter was an outstanding example as to what I'm saying. Whereas it was said of Peter, "Peter, I prayed for thee that your faith fail not." Peter cursed. He denied that he knew the Lord after boasting of what he would do when others would fall. He failed. He cursed. He denied that he ever knew the Lord. And there he stood helpless. He was completely cut off from God. And the Lord in pity looked at him and said, "Peter, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." I say again, his righteousness had already failed. Peter's boasting had failed. Peter's ability had failed. Peter was a great, strong, courageous fellow. But it didn't work when he come up against the devil. And he failed. And when Jesus, looking at him, saw his defeat, he said, "Peter, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Well, that is to say, "Peter, you've tried your strength. Now try my strength and be strong in the power of my might." You've fallen, Peter, and you've stumbled. But the Bible said, "A good man will fall 7 times and still get back up." And he said, "Now, Peter, when thou art converted, then you strengthen the brethren." And you know, that must have really got a hold of Peter. Because the one thing that Peter knew, when the devil began to seize upon him and begin to say things to him, there was something that would ring over in Peter's mind. But he said, when thou art converted, I have hope. Or he would not have said, when thou art converted. And that thing ring over and over in the mind of Peter. No doubt, when thou art converted, when thou art converted, I still have hope. And when Peter came back, he came back strong and powerful in God and done great and mighty exploits in the name of Jesus Christ, and stands as a memorial to God having walked on the water. No one ever walked on the water but Peter. Paul never walked on the water. No one else walked on the water outside of Peter and Jesus. So he has a real testimony. And I see that faith brought Peter up. Faith lifted Peter up when Peter walked on the water. And when Peter began to sink, he still had enough confidence in God that he believed that God would have mercy on him. But you know, I say this so often. Peter at one time was a master walking on the water. Walking on the water, he didn't have to have Jesus reach out and take his hand. He looked at Jesus and he believed what Jesus said. And those words came ringing back. Come unto me, Peter. Come unto me. Or that is, those words come ringing back to you and I. The works that I do, these shall you do, and greater works than these, because I make it possible by going to the Father, giving the blood atonement, so these things can be done, that you might be magnified in such a great and mighty way. So then Peter walked on the water as a master, looking at Jesus as to say, you do it, I can do it. You said what you do, I can do. Well, that is to say, in our day, that's the way it is. And it's so wonderful to know that God is challenging my faith as an individual. I don't look at you as to say, God's challenging your faith, why don't you do it? I'd like to see you do it. And it's true, he is challenging your faith. And it is true that what he is saying to me is saying to you. He said, what I say to one, I say to all. And you have the same privilege to go into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. But you know, I'm not trying to apply this to you as to put you on the spot, but I'm just saying it thrills me to know that God challenges my faith. I have the opportunity to meet that challenge, and I'm going to meet it. I've tried to meet it down through the years, and God has blessed me. Like the big eagle, when the winds come, you know, the little birds, they are pushed down with that wind. They run for cover. They hide in the trees. But the big eagle doesn't do that. When the blast of that wind comes, that big eagle throws its head back, and it turns those wings like that. And when the blast of the storm hits the eagle, he just rides above the storm clouds, and higher and higher and higher he goes as the storm rages. And that's the way it should be with us. We sing that song, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, we ought to be in such a place by now, with all the tutoring that we've received, especially here at Bethlehem, or we would say the religious world, if they'd been tutored right at this point, should be like mighty eagles that can stand the storms and ride above the storms. You know, take like the big planes. The big planes, they hit the clouds. They're carrying their cargo. They're carrying their people. The big planes just ride up above that. And after a while, you're sailing along in that plane and you're looking down on the storm clouds and you're way up here above the lightning and the thundering. The little planes that cannot get up that high, they're caught in all of this weather and they have to look for a place, you know, like a ship out on a sea. Take the big ships, when the waves are rolling and tossing them around, sometimes it'll pick a ship way up here and bring it way down in the valley. One time it's up on the mountaintop, the next time it's down in the valley, but the big ship just keeps on rolling with the waves, and the little ships have to make for shore. They have to look to try to find a place of safety. You know, we should be big in the Lord. We should be growing up in the Lord. The Bible said that the meat is for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. The meat is for the strong. Ye that are babes, you desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. But these that are grown up in God, they have strength. And they're able to withstand the storm. They can ride upon the storm, spread as like the wings of the wind, and ride upon the storm. So I see this tonight as a challenge to my faith. It is impossible for me to please God without believing. These people that draw back, the Bible said, if you draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in you. That is to say, these that draw back, they'll never have that eternal life. These that draw back will never please God. You may drift along religiously accepting the fact that you're going to be a Christian, that you're going to have eternal life. But I'm telling you, if you don't use your faith, you'll never have eternal life. You can't draw back on God. You can't hold your believing back and still be a Christian. You might join a church. You might even come to Bethlehem. You might be part of the brotherhood here and the coming in and out among us as to a sister or brother. But that doesn't mean you have eternal life. It's when you apply yourself and it's when you use your faith in God that you make contact with God. And the Bible says that God purifies your heart by faith. It's by faith that God purifies your heart. So then you're going to have faith in God. If you're ever translated into the kingdom of God, you're going to have faith. Why was it that the Jews missed the coming of the Lord and the kingdom of God? Why was it that they were not translated into the kingdom of God? Why was it they were set aside as the children of the kingdom? And then strangers came from the east and the west and they went into the kingdom of God. Because those that came was of the Gentiles that believed in God. They believed in God. When God sent the messenger to preach to them, they believed what he said. So then, believing what God had said, they were translated by faith into the righteousness of God, into the kingdom of God, into the mind of God. And these received the kingdom, and the kingdom of God was preached, and the kingdom of God went into their hearts as the Spirit of Christ, and they went into the presence of God as through the translation of their mind. So then, they that have had faith, as faithful Abraham, have been translated into the kingdom of God. The law and the prophets until John, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and men pressed their way into it. So then, if you have faith in God, when I preach this message, then you can be translated into it. The Bible said in Philip, preach the name of Jesus as to baptism, as to a door that was opened to the Gentile people. And he preached the kingdom of God. So then we come to preach the kingdom of God and the name Jesus. Or we come to preach that the kingdom of God is at hand and the name of Jesus is a doorway or an entrance into it. Whereas the Bible said, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, that salvation shall be preached in his name. And that the name is given for salvation. And there's none other name. And the Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it, and they are saved. And they that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make any provisions for the body of this death. Don't make any provisions for your flesh. Don't let your mind appear and that old fleshly mind talk you out of the things of God. Because it's always talking. It's always got plans. It's always got a program. It's always contrary to God. The Bible said in the carnal mind is enmity with God. Continual warfare all the time. See, your natural thinking always has some planned as to monetary value, as to diplomacies of life, as to positions of life, or as to do something that will keep you out of church, keep you away from the kingdom of God. All the time that thing's talking up there. It's just running all the time. It's like corruption that's running out of a bad sore. That mind's always going on and it's filled with the corruption of Satan. Satan working in the carnal mind. And the Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God. Always it's contrary to God. The thing that caused Eve to lose out was the carnal mind. In the day that thou becomest carnal, thou shalt surely die. He could have said it like that. He said, in the day that thou eatest out, thou shalt surely die. That is when you partake of the tree of knowledge and start leaning to your own understanding. He said, you're going to die. And so it was that they died. But he could have said, in becoming carnal, ye shall surely die. Boy, you become carnally minded. And everything that you think of as for self, as for eating, as for drinking, as for buying, as for selling, as for houses, home, education, as for parents, as for wife, as for children, as for anything that pertains to the flesh, that is the carnal mind. And that is not being spiritual, and there's no life in that. There's no life in that. That's a temporal thing. And whatever enjoyment you get out of it, you'll get out of it in this world, and Satan bringing an inspiration to that will cause you to move on toward the things of the world, which will end in death, because the inspiration of that is death. The thing that inspires that to the ball games and the frolics of the world is death. There is a light, a dark light, an inspiration in the natural things of the world that stimulates the flesh to those gullible desires and the passions and monetary values and whatever it might be, but that's the power of death. But folks, when you got Christ on the inside, there's an inspiration unto light. There's an inspiration unto life. There's an inspiration unto doing something for God, in giving your talent for God, giving your minds to God, giving your body to God, giving your strength to God. There's something that God does moving in the mind of Christ to activate you with a great, wonderful spiritual power that lifts you up and makes you to do something for God. Here we're talking to you, and tonight the thought is this: are you doing anything for God? Am I doing anything for God? What's your program and plan for God? Are you really doing something for God? See, what are you using your strength for? Take like me, for instance. I'm blessed, and I'm thankful that I'm blessed, but I have lots of strength. Now, if I have lots of strength, what am I doing with this strength? Am I using it for God? Am I going on with God, or am I using it for my own benefit? See, day by day, I'm using it for something. I'm using it for something. Like it was said one time, a mother said to a son, "Don't give your strength to women. You can give your strength to women as a man. As to reproduction, you give your strength to that. You bring forth a family. You bring forth children." And that day they had 10, 12, 20 wives, whatever. She said, "Don't be a fool and give your strength to women. You can take your strength and you can use it greatly for God." She was pointing out, there's great things that you can do with your strength. And that way you can lay up treasures unto God. You can lay up treasures in heaven. That strength can be used up strictly for God, and you can have treasures on the other side. Same way with a woman. She can give her strength to a man. She can go through her life and give her strength to a man when she could give her strength to God and be great and mighty in the sight of God and doing things and laying up treasures in heaven. So then, whether you're called as to a wife or whether a husband, you should come together in love and understanding and combine your efforts, your strength, and everything that you've got to use for God, to give your strength to God, to honor the Lord with your substance. That's what God wants you to do. And folks, meet the challenge that God has set before you. "I set before you an open door," he said. And he said this day, "I set before you life and death, and you choose whatever you would like to have." So then, is to rid ourselves of the body of this death, to come into the light of God, lay aside every weight that does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that God has set before you. See, the sin that does so easily beset you, the carnal mind that out-talks you. A lot of times, you know, you give an altar call and you ask somebody to come to the altar. And in coming to the altar, you find a lot of people don't do it. When I was stressing this a few minutes ago, I stressed this because I picked up a spirit. And the Lord showed me that a carnal mind was fixing to outreason some people. Which within about 10 minutes, from the time I started stressing this, it outreasoned them and they left. They're gone. See, the devil will outreason you. I know you've got a good reason, you know. You've got a good mind to do this. You've got a good reason for this. But there is no reasoning that God will accept in the day of judgment as to why you did not submit yourself to God, or why you did not go on with God. Why that you did the things that you did will be questioned in the day of judgment if they're not in alignment with God or God's word. Whatever your decisions are, they should be founded upon the word of God. If it's a matter of meeting the challenge in God, it's going to take faith. I tell you, you can't do it of yourself. Peter couldn't do it. He boasted that he could, but he couldn't. And you can't do it either, because man is made a little lower than the angels. The word lower there indicates that his strength is not that as an equality of an angelic being. And Satan is an angelic being. He's a fallen one. And you are no match for Satan. But folks, let me tell you, when you get Christ on the inside, then Satan is no match for you. Because Christ Jesus mastered Lucifer as he walked upon this earth. He mastered the carnal mind. He mastered the ambitions of life. He laid them all aside. And he stood as a great king and a great champion in the earth over every obstacle of life. And today he lives on the inside of you. And that's why the Bible uses the terms that he that is within you is greater than he that is in the world. So then you can put 1,000 to flight. 2 can put 10,000 to flight. And when you have faith in God, he said, say what you will and it'll be done unto you. Ask, don't doubt, and you can have whatever you want. Isn't that a thrill? Isn't that a thrill? You know, a lot of you live so far beneath your privilege till you're always thinking negative. As to, well, that couldn't happen to me. I don't pray enough. I don't fast enough. He didn't say whether you fast enough or whether you pray enough. He didn't say or whether you're good enough. He said, all of this is available to you. I give unto you all things that pertain unto life. Well, that is the potentiality of what I've given you in Christ. It's all there for your partaking. I've given you everything that pertains unto life in Christ Jesus. And it's up to you as to the utilization of your efforts and faith in God to reach up and take the answer out of God's hand. So that you can have whatever you want. Supposing that I meet that challenge with faith, then what could I have? Look at the things that God has blessed me with. In just what little effort I have made. In just what little effort I have made as to meeting the challenge of faith. And look how God has blessed me around the world. He's blessed me in all things. I don't know of anything that he hasn't blessed me in. He's blessed me. If you can put your finger on something and say, well, I don't think he's blessed you here, then you show it to me. I don't know of any place he hasn't blessed me. He's blessed me in all things. He said, I would above all things that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospereth. God did it. I didn't do it. I didn't merit it. God did it. And God has met me in all things. There's nothing that he's cut me short in. What if I'd have manifested a greater exuberance toward God? Or what if I'd given a greater drive toward God, made more sacrifice toward God as to develop and to prove my faith and to put my faith into the hands of God, to trust him to do things for me? Think of what God would have done, or think of what God could do. And folks, that's what I'd like to do, for the Bible said we're contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. I'm trying to come to the place to where I have more sincerity toward God, more hunger and thirst toward God, more interest in the things of God, that I might do greater things for God. Because one day that we're going to stand before him at the judgment, all of us are going to be there, and we're going to stand before God at the judgment to give an account for every deed that our spiritual angelic being has done during its lifetime while it tabernacled in this body. So then I want to do all I can while I can, that when I stand before God, I won't have a great loss. You're losing out. Did you know that? Every time you fail to do something for God, you've lost great treasure. That's why the Bible said, go on to a full reward. You're losing great treasure. Every day of your life, you're losing great things that you could have had, treasures that you could have laid up in heaven, and you're going to find yourself at a great loss in the day of judgment. All right, so then we exhorted you just a little bit concerning the faith, to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. This great, wonderful faith that God has for you, God still is challenging your faith. The Bible said the Jews had the word, but they did not profit by it, in that it was not mixed with faith. You have the word of God in this generation, but not a lot of people are profiting by it, in that they don't mix faith with it. But I'm going to tell you something, and you remember this, God has been merciful. I brought it out this morning concerning afflictions and different things. God has been merciful, and he's given you medical aid and all these other things because of the weakness of your faith. God has been merciful to help you. But after a while, that's going to be gone. The Bible said there'll be no healing medicines. There won't be any healing physicians. There won't be anybody that can do anything, because this thing that God has given has been mercy to give the saints time to develop faith, that they can latch on to that divine healing and that divine act of God, that God may take care of them naturally, physically, and spiritually through their faith. And after that, once that period of time is gone, then God will close it out. And everyone that didn't get it won't even have any benefits, not even as to the blood being on the seat of atonement, as to medical aid, because there won't be any blood on the seat of atonement. So in that day, there won't be any healing medicines, because there is no such thing as a healing medicine, only in the sense of the blood being on the seat of atonement and God working through remedies. When the blood is gone, he will not work through remedies anymore. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, let's stand together, if you will. Not holding you long tonight, because the preliminaries was a little longer than usual. And me being late, if I had not been late, it would not have been longer, been about normal. But in that while I was a little late, then it made it a little lengthy as to those things. All right. So then we love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? Do you believe in the power of God? I've said this to you a lot of times. You that do not believe in the supernatural will never get a benefit from God. If your reason and your natural is to your intellect, God can't get to you. Because God is a spirit, and they that come to God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if you try to serve God with a soul intellectual of yours, a soul body of yours, you're not going to get anywhere. Your ritualistics don't count to God. You're going to have faith that of your heart, with the heart. That is the spirit on the inside of man's heart, with that spirit. As to the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And unless you can believe with your spirit unto righteousness, you're never going to have a purification of the heart. And unless you can believe in the righteousness of God, which is in Jesus Christ, God can never get to you to heal you. He can never get to you to supply your need. He can never get to you to bless you. Because God cannot look upon iniquity, and your image is an image of iniquity from your birth. And the Bible said you are shapen in iniquity as the bastard child. And in iniquity did my mother conceive me. So then you're altogether corrupt in his sight until you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the image that's before God, as that old beastly thing, passes away, and the body of that death is gone. And in its place stands the angelic being of Christ Jesus, the quickening spirit. So then if you don't have that faith in God, then you don't get to the blood. And if you don't get to the blood, then your iniquity is still between you and your God. The Bible said, and thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God, and thine iniquities have kept thee back from great, wonderful things. Ask of me, and I will show you things that you know not. The Bible said, pray, and God will make bright clouds in the day of the rain. So then, your iniquity stands between you and God as to your unbelief, and it's kept you back from great things. For the Bible said, God's hand is not short, that he cannot reach you, but thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. And this is what Jesus did at Calvary when he rent the veil, when he went to Calvary and God smote the image as to the body of that death, the bastard child image. He took it away, and there is no image between your inner spiritual being and God, who is the eternal spirit, if you accept the smitten image at Calvary. If you accept the smitten image of Calvary, then the image of you as a bastard child is no more. And the body of that death is gone. And you are as an angelic being, one with the Spirit of Christ and in the presence of God. And you don't have any problem getting anything that you want. All right, let's sing together, can we? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete.
while I sit at your feet, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul.
Can you sing that with me?
All I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. The altars are open. So I need thee, Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee, I need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal. To Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Let's come in. Just coming today, and coming to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to my heart. The altars are open if you'd like to come. If the Lord Jesus has never been allowed to come into your heart, now's the time to let him come into your heart. He wants to come into your heart. He desires to come inside of you, walk in you, for you're the temples of this great, wonderful heavenly treasure. God is so fixed it to where Christ Jesus can actually live inside of your human body. And folks, there's nothing more wonderful than to have this heavenly treasure in your earthen vessels tonight. God is challenging your faith. Around the world goes the gospel, and around the world goes the challenge. To those that are out yonder in the far fields as well as on the home front, to meet the challenge of God, when he challenges your faith. And how beautiful it is for those that are willing to conform to him. Just come in today, and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. You love the Lord? Lord, I thank you for the valley I walk through today. Darker the valley
more I learned to pray. Found you as the lily there blooming by the way. And I thank you for the valley I walk through today.
You love the Lord. I said this morning, sometimes the valleys get deep. Sometimes they get dark. But he's still the lily of the valley. He's still the lily of the valley. Can you sing it again with me? This weather has a tendency to affect your human body, but we can still sing for the glory of God.
So I thank you for the valley I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found you when lilies blooming by the way. And I thank for the valley I walk through today. Thank you for every hill I climbed, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valley I walk through.
Can you sing it more time?
Thank you for the valley I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found you as the lily there blooming by the way. And I thank you for the valley I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, all the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. So I thank you for the valley I walk through today. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valley I walked through today.
Let's give the Lord a hand. We sing this song, Where Will You Be a Million Years From Now? Can we sing that chorus, Sister Dale?
Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing? Wild ages grow. This question, where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die,
given us this choice to decide our destiny in a million years. Where will you be?
Can you sing that with me?
Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? In the Bible we are told of a day that's soon to come, when the people of this earth shall be gathered around God's throne. When you stand before the King, there for all the world to see, will he say, well done? Where will you be?
Can you sing it with me?
Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you,
one more time together,
a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Sweet are each day, grow sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter, grow long life's way. Garden, I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter.
Can you sing that with me? It really does grow sweeter to me.
Grow sweeter for each day. Grow sweeter each day. Garden, I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter each day. Everybody ought to know.
How do you believe in evangelism?
Everybody ought.
You believe in going into all the world?
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know where Jesus is.
He is the lily of the valley, and he's the bright morning star. feast of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell.
Everybody ought to tell.
Who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star, and he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
One more time.
Everybody ought to tell.
You believe everybody ought to tell? Let's give him a wave offering, can you?
Everybody ought to tell.
Everybody ought to tell.
Who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star, and he's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody,
can you sing it just one more time?
Everybody ought to know.
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 Who Jesus is. For he is the Lord of my life. To know.
Can you give me one more key, Sister Dale? Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are.
You are bright than the morning star. You are fairer, much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're precious, more precious than gold.
Sing it more time.
Oh, my Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. Brighter the morning star. You are fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious.
One more time together.
Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You are fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold.
Can you give him a hand? We're going to sing this little chorus. Mm-hmm.
Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow.
Can you sing that with me?
Across the bridge, there's no more pain. Or the sun's gonna shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. For in this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin. I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior on the way. I asked Him for a place to stay, where there's real happiness and love that's true. He said, across the bridge, there's no more sorrow.
Sing it with me now.
Said, across the bridge, there's no more pain. And the sun shall shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy.
One more time together.
Set across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Set across the bridge, there's no more pain. And the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again.
Can we sing it one more time?
Set across the bridge.
Can you sing it with me?
There ain't no more sorrow. Set across. There ain't no more pain, and the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. And I will praise Him.
Can you lift your hand?
We'll praise Him.
Can you close your eyes?
Praise the Lamb, O sinner.
That once again, I'm going to ask Brother Scott from Colorado to come up and dismiss us. Can we sing it again?
I will praise Him. My will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners. Let us Him glory for His people. For His blood is washed away.
One more time together now.
And we